steadfastness. You know, this is your anchor. It is your soul. It is your being. As you anchor yourself in Him, in His Word, in life, so to speak. You know, it's an interesting word in the Greek. It's bibios, okay? And bibios, probably better said. The etymology is what I really like, because it means even to walk, or your foot, your base, okay? What you stand on. And naturally, we stand on the rock. That is to say, Christ. And that's actually the etymology of the word steadfast. And if you're not steadfast, you're kind of like a leaf in the wind. You never quite know where you're going to land, do you? But when you're steadfast in His truth, in the mystery of God, then you know and understand what is written. It is written, and it will come to pass exactly as it is written. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 1 of that third chapter, it reads, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And He is a high priest. He's the priest of priests. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And being Lord of Lords makes Him the highest priest there is. And naturally, it is His doctrine that we do believe and that we do bring forth. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. "Who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Moses was the lawgiver. And Moses brought forth the law that is common sense, basically, of the land. Moses that appeared with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration as the law, representing the law when Elijah represented the prophets at that transfiguration. Verse 3, "For this man was counted worthy of more than glory, more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." Do you know what house He builded? It's you. His many members' body makes up the house of Christ in these end times. That's why you're blessed when you're in Him. That's why you're blessed when you love Him, follow Him. And you are not like a reef this way and that way, a reed in the wind, but steadfast. I mean, your base, your footing is solid because you're on that rock. And that solidity comes with understanding in His Word. And understanding brings peace of mind. It keeps families together. It's the happiness of a family. Verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." In other words, the very material that you build that house from, God created it, whether it's wood, stone, whatever the case. Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." After means prophecy, meaning things that were coming, things that were yet future. And that's why that even the law itself prophesies in that degree. And verse 6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if..." Boy, there's a big old word. You don't ever want to read over that. If what? "If we hold fast," that is, if you're anchored, if you're steadfast, if you hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That means the very end of this earth age. You happen to be living in that generation of the fig tree. It's going to see some amazing things happen. You already are, if you're observing. I mean, how fantastic it is. And to have that truth, that knowledge that sets you free from anxiety, the unknown, blowing around and anchors you, makes you steadfast in the Word of God. If you believe, that's really quite simple, and you don't ever kid yourself. Analyze yourself. Do you or don't you? And if you don't, you need to really get into the Word and consider. Because the Word is true, and events come to pass exactly as they are written. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear His voice. That's today. Open your ears. Open your eyes. You don't have to wait way down the road. You don't have to wait till the eternity. Today, if you hear Him, if you love Him, He's going to bless you. It sets you apart, and you're steadfast, unmovable on that rock. You may be movable, but that rock is not. Okay. Verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. A day of temptation is coming again that's going to make the day of temptation in the wilderness look like play pretties. Okay? There's a real day of temptation coming. There's a supernatural entity going to appear. He's going to be claiming to be Christ. That's going to be very tempting to most people. But it had better not be tempting to you. I'm sure that you find it rather to be an abomination. Not tempting. Verse 9. While your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. I didn't let them go into the promised land. I held them out there 40 years. You know, this is what the Father's kind of saying. If you're going to get stubborn with Him, if you're not going to listen to Him, He's got a lot of patience. You may not. But boy, He made them wait 40 years. While one generation died off, quite frankly. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They just didn't get it. You have many people today that when they see truth happen and common sense decisions made, they stand off and say, we just don't get it. Well, poor me, baby, them. If they had any knowledge, they would get it. Okay. But unfortunately, that's what socialism will do for you. Verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He won't have it. Will not tolerate it. 12. Take heed. That means you be real careful, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's what hurt them. In departing from the living God. That will, the only eternal life there is with our Father. And you depart from that, and that's sad. Why would someone wish to give it up? Why would someone choose to disbelieve? Because what would you be disbelieving? What would you be believing in if you disbelieved? Traditions of men. What has man ever done that's really solid? That can give you the solidity of steadfastness? Just about nothing. Okay. But our Father, everything. If you have the patience to learn, to listen, and to act. Unbelief and departing from the living God, 13, but exhort one another. That you talk to each other. If there's a weak one, pump him up a little bit, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness of sin will deceive a lot of people. I think some people like to be deceived. And that's real sad. Because it can slip up on you. Sin is a strange thing. It'll talk to you, your conscience, okay? Don't let it, all right? Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. Listen to this. We are made partakers of Christ if, there's that big word again, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. steadfast. That's the word we came here for. Steadfast unto the end. Don't you give way. Don't you waver. That's biblios. You get your feet on the rock, and you stand there, and you stand on His Word, the knowledge and the wisdom. Do you know what happens from that? You're blessed. You get really blessed from Almighty God when you make that stand and talk to Him about it. Let Him know you intend to make that stand, that you intend to stand for something, because he that doesn't stand for something stands for what? Nothing. Is a nothing. This whole world is kind of a mixed up pot, but within it stands God's election, those that have that truth, those that do stand steadfast. You can't deceive them. You cannot con them. You cannot cheat them with temptation. They know better. They know who Satan is, and they resent him. He has been a sore spot coming out the gate, the very garden, even in the first earth age. And we're not giving way to him. We hold that line. So there again, that's a big if. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, solid, unto the end. That means keeping the solidity of the Holy Spirit in your mind and very being and your action, that it is your base, it is your foundation, immovable. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. That means you don't have to, again, you don't wait till down the road. Now, today, you need a blessing, ask him, talk to him. He's your father. He's the closest relative you have ever had now and ever before, or will have after. And he loves you. Talk to him. Let him know and absorb his love, but return that love. That's what he wants from you. Okay. Today, verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? You think about it. How did they go wrong? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Of course it was. They pulled away from God, and there they are, just a carcass. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So important to believe, beloved. He gives you this example. Just the opposite of steadfastness is that can be twisted and turned and conned. Just listen to me, some might say. Just listen, I have a word that's aside from God's word. It'll take you into much deeper truths, they will say. And they lead you right to the gates of hell. There's nothing over God's word. Nothing. And anytime somebody promises you something, if it's not in this word, they're lying to you. You want to mark that person. God didn't send them, even if they say he did. You be very careful in this generation. The penalty for unbelief is failure. Okay, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Anything that is not built with God's blessings will fall. I'm going to say that again. Anything that is built without God's blessings will fall. In the end times, in the great book in the Old Testament, they built this wall, and I referred to it earlier. They tempered it with whitewash. It wasn't solid mortar. It just looked good. But man built that wall, not God. And the first oppression that hit it, down it went. Anything man builds without God will fall, especially if it goes against the Word of God. So then common sense says what? Watch your footing, watch your base. Stay solid. Be steadfast. Believing and knowing God never leaves you wanting. Turn on over to the sixth chapter of this great book. ninth verse, okay? I think that's where I want to go. Ninth verse of chapter 6. The great book of Hebrews. And it reads, but first let me bring you up to date what this sixth chapter has just said. Paul's teaching the Hebrew children here, and that means the people. What does Hebrew mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means those that came across the river, okay? The house of Israel, okay? That came across the river, okay? He said, all you do is you teach salvation, 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 and you never get into the meat of God's Word. And you're just drinking baby bottle stuff when you need to get into the depth of God's Word. But here, you've been here all this time and you've never matured. The word, the first verse in chapter says perfect, but the word perfect should be translated mature. And until you get into the meat, you can't mature. And he said, you keep letting somebody tell you you got to be saved over again. And again, who does the saving? In the sixth verse, very clearly, you know that Christ does. And if you think he's got to do it again, you're calling him a failure, not you. Okay. You know something? He doesn't like that. Do you blame him? I'm going to say that again so you understand it real good. It says in that sixth verse, it's like re-crucifying him all over again. When all you got to do is repent. Because he paid the price with his blood. Paid the price. That you can have that forgiveness. You can have that healing. You can have that request today. If you repent and believe upon him. Hey, he did it one time. That's all that's necessary. You can drift so far, you'll go to hell. But he doesn't have to do his part again. He did it. Okay, let's pick it up with verse 9, if we may, following what I just stated. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Salvation has a lot better things than just being saved again or baptized. Okay. Nothing wrong with those things, but pretty soon you've got to mature a little bit, okay? For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You plant those little seeds to people that see how happy you are. They want some of that. They want that happiness. They want that solidity. They want that steadfastness. Because you've got it. They don't. And they're twisted and torn. And what a blessing you can be to God's children. You think he doesn't appreciate that? He does. Today. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You stick with it. You be true to him in that. That you be not slothful, that means dull or lazy, by followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, be vivacious about it. Be happy about it. Verse 13, for when God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Do you understand that? God wanted Abraham to know this is going to come to pass exactly like it's written. So who could he swear by to promise to Abraham? Only himself. Okay. Verse 14, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. 15, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham did, okay? He obtained that promise. You know what he obtained it through? Faith. Steadfastness. Verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That means argument, disagreement, but to know your Father's way makes the path clear. Listen carefully, 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That is to say, it's unchangeable. It's steadfast. It is solid. 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope set before us. Well, what are those two things? It is the promise and the oath. Okay. Neither one of them can go wrong. Neither one of them is going to let you down. And within that, we have that promise. In verse 19, while we came here, listen carefully. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's an anchor of what? It's an anchor of your being, your soul. Both sure and steadfast. There's the word, steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, Christ says, what happened at the crucifixion? He rent that veil of the Holy of Holies from top to bottom and said, come on in. I paid the price. You're welcome. And so it is. You don't need this man or any other man or any person to stand before you and God. You can walk in boldly, unashamedly, if you believe. That gives you the right, that steadfastness gives you the right to go even behind the veil. That means even to him, right into the Holy of Holies. That's why your anchor is so important. That's why your foundation, your rock, that rock that you stand on, is so very important to you. It sets you apart from people that are misguided because you have the Word. You have the gift. Today, if you open your ears, today, if you open your eyes, if you see that truth, that Word, then God reaches down, he blesses you, and sees that you make it through that wilderness of temptation without being the least bit addled or sidetracked. Because you are part of the house that God built, and if God builds it, it cannot fall. If God builds it, it cannot fail. If it's a ministry that has God, it will stand. Nothing can harm it, not even Satan. For God has given us today power over all of our enemies for believing and knowing that he loves us and that we return that love. And he touches you with his grace today. If you believe, if you love him, if you follow him, he takes you into his arms. He holds you. And you are steadfast. Why? Because you're on the rock. One more verse to complete. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what does Melchizedek mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means the king of righteousness. Melchizedek, king, Zedek is, if you wish, the elect, Zadok. Okay. And that's your rock. That's the steadfastness. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. And it reads, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, that's justice of the people, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I'm concerned, he's saying, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Well, mystery of God what? That the Antichrist comes first. As it is written in Mark 13, that you must make that stand against the false Messiah. That's part of the mystery. That's part of the foundation that gives you comfort to know you don't have to speak that day. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. That's that acknowledgement of the steadfastness, of trusting Him, of loving Him. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where does it come from? Don't ever forget it. All the wisdom and all the knowledge hidden within Him, and He has opened that veil to you and said, come in. Hear me. Today. Don't harden your mind. Don't close me out. Listen to me, He's saying. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Don't you let some sharpie, some reverend, some would-be preacher mislead you. Verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness, there's that word, a little different this time, of your faith in Christ. You don't waver. You're not somebody blowing around like a reed in the wind. Hear this man 5 minutes and another man over here, and you're somewhere in the middle wondering which way to go. Why didn't you listen to God? Then you wouldn't have been bewildered. Listen to your Father. Get on the rock. Today, be steadfast. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That is the foundation. Walk, your base, the foot, rooted and built up in Him and established. There's your word, okay? Established in the faith. That means rock solid. Bibios in the Greek tongue. Solidified in faith and understanding. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, you better be thankful for it, for it is knowledge and wisdom that the world starves for. For our Father would have you do, to take you in His arms, to love you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men through the rudiments of the world. That means the wickedness of the world, and not after Christ. Boy, they'll change it on you if you listen to them. Oh, they're so sharp, so slick. Be honest with yourself. Go directly to the Word of God. Again, He rent that veil. It cost Him His life to do that. Rent it and said to you, come in. You don't have to go somewhere else for wisdom. You don't have to go somewhere else for knowledge. He's giving it to you. Today, be steadfast in Christ, the rock. Stand on it. Be firm, not blown or shaken around. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's not any more. And ye are complete in Him. But this guy said he could take me a little bit deeper than Christ. Or did he? Well, he's lying to you. Okay, sharpen up. Or guess where you're going? Okay. Which is the head of all principality and power. Again, there is no other. And so it is that our Father is so good to us that He brings us this truth. What did He just say to us? All wisdom and knowledge comes from Him. And He shares it abundantly right here in this Word. Have you read it? Have you stood on it? Or are you shaken by men? You know something? Men will rough you up, chew you up, and spit you out. But God will never do that to you. But I'll tell you what He will do. He will give you a fortification in the rock, that if somebody tries to chew on you, it'll break every tooth in their head, because you're a child of God. You're on the rock, and the solidity of your faith and belief is rooted and anchored in Him, and you yourself become unmovable as far as the traditions of men or Satan's little gimmicks that come along. You're solid. Real solid. And that's exactly what your Father wants for you. Let's go to 2 Peter to close this lecture. Second Peter chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 4, if we may. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Here's those promises of God again. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you want to partake of that? Do you understand what divine nature is? That's the will of God. You want God in your life? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Get away from it. Separate yourself. Okay. Now, I'm speaking spiritually here. Literally, we're in this world right in the middle of the lust and everything else for a purpose. Okay. To straighten it out. To be solid. To be anchored. We're not hothouse lilies that are going to wilt the first time something evil in the world happens near us. Okay. We can handle it. No problem, no step for a stepper, okay, can-do type people. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. That means intelligence. But to perseverance, add that to you. Don't be a quitter. Don't give up every time the wind changed its directions. Well, I just get tired. Well, then everybody gets tired. But a lot of people get fooled when they get tired, okay? That shouldn't change the solidity of your mind just because you're tired. And to knowledge, temperance. That means patience, okay? Self-control, okay? And to temperance, self-control, patience. That's steadfastness, okay? Don't give up. And to patience, godliness. That's, again, divine nature. What is godliness? Divine nature. Let it come into your life, okay? That means He's in your life, and He smooths out the bumps that you can't hardly get over. When you do the hard part, He'll do the rest for you. When you do the easy part, He'll do the hard part for you when you're trying. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. That's love, Christian love. Let it pour from you. Don't let somebody abuse it, but let it pour from you and reach out and change souls. Be a comfort. Why? You can afford to. Well, how can I afford to? Because you're anchored. You're steadfast. You're on the rock. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That knowledge and wisdom is going to fill you. Just as waters cover the earth, that knowledge and wisdom is coming into you. Why? Because it makes common sense. And common sense is natural, is the divine nature of things. It's the way God made us. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Can't see, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, that Christ removes us from this. Well, I still fall occasionally. Sure, then you repent, but you're perfect again. Nobody's perfect. We all slip up at times to times. And you mash your finger and say, goodness, okay, goodness gracious. Okay. Well, repent for it, okay? And it's forgotten. It's gone, all right? But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see far off, forgotten. And verse 10. Wherefore, this is why one of the reasons we came here, sharpen up for me. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, that's great care, to make your calling and election sure. Guess what that word sure is in the Greek? Biblios. Steadfast. Solid. Solidified. Based on your anchor of the very soul itself where you can't be moved. Sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Why? Because God made the wall. God made you. You're a part of that house. You'll never stumble. And if you do, you'll jerk right back up. Start taking names and kicking dragon. Bam, just like that. Piece of cake. So there you have that word sure, which is that word. It's one more time. We're going to go there. For so an entrance or gate shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's today also. That gate of knowledge will open to you. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I really believe, but I don't understand. Well, talk to Him. When you do your part, when you study, and it will not come through for you, talk to Him and say, Father, I'm not getting it. Help me. I guarantee that He will. There'll be a whole paragraph. I'm speaking from experience, dear one. A whole paragraph will solidify in your mind and you can go with it. God helps those that ask. That ask that help. What makes the big difference? You're asking so you can help others. God loves that. If you're asking something just for you, He might be a little squeamish about it. Okay. But if you're asking for something where you can make a difference, He's going to really be proud of you. See, some people ask for the wrong reasons, and unfortunately, there's where you go. If He builds it, it's not going to fall. Period. Verse 11. For so an entrance, that gate, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Though you're established in it. It doesn't hurt to hear it again. You need to. Why? It vitalizes you. It warms you. It lets God know that you love Him. And He touches you in that and leads you. And when you're on that rock, today, not tomorrow, not the next day, today, when you hear His voice, it always causes you to grow. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm going to make you stop and think about it. What He's talking about, I'm going to remind you the Antichrist is coming first. I'm going to remind you there's a lot of people who would like to pull your chain. Flush you right out of existence. Don't let them. That's what He's talking about. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And He wrote them down, and we have them. Peter did that. All of them did. So that we have the Word of God. It wasn't Peter talking. It was God speaking through him. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, that stuff made up by man, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter said, I saw it. I experienced it. Peter had been dressed down a time or two by him when Peter said, I've got a sword right here, they're not taking you. And Christ had to say, get behind me, Satan, you know. Peter's love got a hold of him, misled him there. 17, and he received from God the Father, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that's from our Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And those doves ascended. And that was at his baptism as well as other places. in God Himself letting us know, this is my Son. You want to be blessed? You're His child too. Not to be compared to that Son, but He still loves you. And today, if you hear His voice, He will touch you. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. That's to say the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? In Matthew chapter 11 and so forth. Verse 19. We have also a more sure, there's that word again, underline it, that steadfastness, a more sure word of prophecy. It's guaranteed, it's absolute. It's biblios, meaning it's solid, steadfast. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, that you pay attention, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's to say, Christ. When you pay attention and when you stay focused, He is returning. He is that morning star. Not Lucifer, the bright star. That's the fake. But the true is coming. And don't you ever be tempted by the false. That's what God's Word tries to teach you. It's why it wants you to be steadfast. But are you going to be tested? You're going to be tested when that false one appears. Many people are going to think He's the real thing. You're not. You know Him for who He is and what He does to your brethren. And you will be solid. You will be steadfast. You will make that stand until the true day star brings His light and shines. 21 to complete the lecture. I'm sorry, 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's for everyone. Okay. Don't let somebody come along and say, I have an inside insight into this. Okay. It's open. It's there today. For whomsoever will. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so it is that Holy Spirit, even today, and even through you, you got to understand that you're a part in this. God built the house. And that house is going to witness, is going to testify. That's part of the mystery of God. And of all generations, in this generation, you must learn to be steadfast, anchored, your soul, that your very spiritual being, of divine nature, whereby you are anchored in the Word of God and you cannot be deceived. It doesn't matter what philosophy or what vain deceits might come along. You can see through them because you have that light. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you, Father, for your direction. Thank you, Father, for your truth, the simplicity, Father, in which your Word is written. We thank you. Amen, amen, amen.
15, verse 8.